And we'll begin reading down through here a ways. It says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I set a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing far off for the fear of the torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Their merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manners of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious stone, of most precious stone, wood, excuse me, and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odours and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy prophets, ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in thee at all, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Man, that's pretty intense judgment going on there. We talked about this before. We identified Babylon, this great city on the seven hills and all this. We go down through these verses and we look at how the carnal world had fared well, fleshly speaking, because of her riches and her relationship with all the different worldly leaders in different places, different nations, and talk about the trade she says she sets a queen, and then, you know, we know that that religious system worships the queen of heaven. The queen, you know, it's a queen that they worship. It's not biblical worship. It's all pagan. It's all a conglomeration of different perverted worship. It's no truth in it. Now, an interesting thing to me, when you go down through verse 13, it says, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine, talking about all these things that she deals in, and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. This city, this great city, this mother of all harlots, this great Babylon that we talked about, is damning people to hell, and they're doing it for money. Making merchandise of men's souls. And that's what religion is. True religion and undefiled, we know God explains that, and the reason he has to explain that again is because most religion is false religion. True religion and undefiled is taking care of the motherless and the widows, fatherless and widows. So it's taking care of those things. But the whole system of worship that man sets up is a system of greed and control and destruction. And, you know, all these different entities that are connected with this Babylon, whether directly or indirectly, whether it's by their knowledge or not, whether they've been drawn into this mess or it's a spiritual relationship, they are all... the biggest part of them think that they are doing good and doing good and doing good, and this is all going to set the stage for Jesus Christ to sit on everything they set up. They're going to set up this world system for him to rule and reign. Well, the world system, as we talked about before, is being set up for the Antichrist to rule and reign. Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to fight that battle of Armageddon. He's going to throw the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And I don't know if we mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again if we did. All of man's systems of belief, from philosophy to psychology to religion, he's not going to take any of that. He's going to throw that away. That's all going to be gone. Jesus Christ is not going to need Dr. Phil and Oprah. Amen. This world is no longer going to be enticed by their wisdom, because Jesus Christ himself will rule and reign on the throne of David. And all the philosophers and all the flaky people that, you know, get into that philosophy and want to spend all their life dealing with Descartes and Socrates and all these different things, God's not interested and impressed by that. I mean, man comes up with this stuff, and man's like, well, you know, look at me, and, you know, I think, therefore I am, and do we really even exist? I mean, a man's pretty bright, right? Do we really even exist? You know, that's one of the theories. One of the theories, you know, everything just accidentally got here, or God did it, and it's been progressive evolution ever since, or do we really exist at all? You know, the philosophers, you know, I think, therefore I am. Well, okay, if you're impressed with your thought process to that degree, that's fine, but God's not impressed. He's not gonna go, let me see what man's got for me so I can rule and reign. He's going to throw it all in a dumpster. So that's all gone. All that stuff's gone. Let me tell you how it really is. And he's going to rule and reign perfectly. No man has ever done that. But Jesus Christ will do that. And we look at this judgment, and we look about the fact that this great whore, this mystery, this Babylon, this mysterious city, this great city is being destroyed, and they had dealt with all these things, all these interactions, financial interactions, and it was all about the love of money and the money and power, right? And then in verse 20, after we see the destruction, it says, well, you know, an interesting thing also in verse 19, all these folks that had dealt with this Babylon, that had become rich with this Babylon, when this great city, oh, this is a great city, what city is likened to her? When that city is destroyed, look what they do. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city where were made rich, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. So they're not upset by their sin. Remember Nineveh, they sat in sackcloth and ashes, got right with God. These guys don't get serious until they lose everything that's worldly. And now they're like, now they're, oh, ashes on my head, and then crying out and wailing and upset because all their worldliness is gone. All the worldly riches are gone. And that's the difference between God's people and the way we should see things and the world. It's not about the worldly riches. You know, the worldly riches are fleeting anyway. You know, our riches are eternal. Saved folks have eternal riches and eternal value. Hopefully, things that give back to Jesus Christ an eternal reward for what he's done for us. But this throwing, casting dust on their heads and crying out, weeping and wailing because their flesh is losing something. Their flesh doesn't have its way. And then the opposite, counter to that, in verse 20, it says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So all these people, all these souls of men, and all these, all this wicked transactions that have been going on, and all of God's people that have been destroyed over the history of mankind. And like I said again, we could look back through from the time of Christ, through the apostles and the way they were taken out, and we talked about this Sunday about the fact that they threatened Pilate with Caesar, and he's connected to Rome. And then we see all these things that go on in the 14th, 15th, 16th century. The Fox's Book of Martyrs, and these people that were beheaded and burned at the stake, and all these things. And then on into the tribulation time where men will be beheaded. And the Word of God says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God's going to make it right. People aren't getting away with anything. And the only reason that we do is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not, our sins have been paid for. But all these people that look like they're getting away with murder, and some of them are at this time so far, but God's going to avenge all that. God, he says, vengeance is mine. And he'll take care of everything. And he'll, when he does, when he gets the balances out, it's going to be better than the best Judge Judy you ever seen, amen? Because it'll be right. It'll be perfect. And the scales of justice in God's eyes are blind. Because it won't matter who it is. It won't matter who they were on this earth, what power they had, what power they didn't have, how much prestige or money or whatever. It won't matter. They're all going to be judged the same. And perfectly so. And rejoice over her, thou heaven. So they're the lost crowd that was taking advantage of the riches and the delicacies, if you will, and the trade with this Babylon, this great city. They're upset and weeping and wailing, and heaven's rejoicing because judgment has finally come on the enemy. Amen. And the enemy's system. And what a day that will be. You get over to verse 1 of chapter 19, and it says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia. And her smoke arose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's where we'll quit reading today, but we'll talk about these verses a little bit. So, again, back in chapter 18, verse 19, the world's upset because they're losing their worldly goods and their worldly abilities to do trade. Well, you can see the mess that's going on right now in this world. The stage is being set for all this stuff to eventually happen. And then we see the glory of God in heaven. And starting out in chapter number 19, they're praising God, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And why are they praising him? Why are they worshiping him? For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. And I'll tell you something. The more you pray and the more you read your Bible and the more you try to do right, even though we're not sinless, I understand that. I understand we struggle. And the only thing that makes us any different than anybody else is the blood of Jesus Christ and being saved. I understand that. But this makes me mad. I was in Walmart the other day, and I ruined my wife and I's Walmart date. Amen? I walked in there, and I this has been bothering me the last couple months anyway, just the perversion that's going on everywhere. It drives me nuts. And it makes me mad. It makes me furious. And it makes me want to scream. And I walk into Walmart. She has something to do right in there. And I'm standing there. And I'm looking at the fruitcake Elton John with his funny glasses on this sign. And I'm thinking, why do I have to look at this? I come in here to spend my money. I come in here to spend God's money. Why do I have to look at this? I don't just like it. I hate it. I despise it. I don't want to see it. Put it back in the closet. And I went on a little short rant about it. And I almost went to customer service. And I almost went to customer service and said, Hey, look, I come in here to spend some money. And if you get rid of the pervert sign up there, I might spend some money in here. But maybe it was good my wife was with me that day. But I'm going to tell you what, this is making me sick to my stomach and it's making me mad as heck at it. I'm telling you, this just drives me nuts. Why does it have to be this way? I mean, it just drives me crazy. And that's the deal. When God fixes this, it's going to be such a blessing. It's going to be such a blessing. It's going to be so amazing to not have to deal with this stuff anymore. See, there's something that lives inside of us as saved people that despises wickedness. Even our own, we get off track. But to have it hitting you 24/7, it seems like. And even if it's only 8 or 9 or 10 hours in the day only, you've got that in your head that day and in that night. And why? You know, Lord, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, it is crazy out there. And you say, boy, here they are. They're praising God because true and righteous are his judgments, and he hath judged the great whore. And praise the Lord, one of these days, we're going to be on that side of time, and this mess is going to be gone. Amen. This mess is going to be gone. Oh, man, could you imagine when Sodom and Gomorrah burnt down? There's probably a small city maybe, who knows, 5, 6 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles down the road, they're like, phew, glad that mess is over with. I didn't want that getting to our kids and getting to our people. Amen. There's probably people there, there's probably somebody that said, boy, man, I'm glad that's gone. Amen. But he's going to judge that great whore. He's going to judge that mist, that big, that great city, and wipe it out, and the world will be upset. And those on God's side will be going, yes, praise God, hallelujah. Salvation, glory, and honor to the Lord. His true and righteous are his judgments. Well, we'll bow down at his feet. Then you get down here and it talks about, you know, this voice of the multitude praising him in verse 6 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You know what happens there? That's the judgment seat of Christ. After the judgment seat of Christ, the bride is ready. You say, we go to heaven, we get white raiment. We do it, the judgment seat of Christ. We go up there, all of our works are judged. You know what it says? The righteousness of saints. Because whatever we do, that righteousness is all going to be left. There's not going to be impurities. There's not going to be unrighteousness. It's all going to be burned away with fire. But we will be saved ourselves, yet so as by fire. That's what the book says. We're saved. But our anything that's unrighteous in us is gone. And that's what it's talking about. His wife hath made herself ready. My job and your job. Let's talk about that for just a minute. My job is to try to limit your fire sale at the judgment seat of Christ by preaching straight truth. Your job is submitting to the will of God when you're convicted and wrong, and reading that Bible and figuring out how to be right. Amen? So I'm telling you, there will be people at the judgment seat of Christ that have nothing left when the fire's over. I don't want to be us. And you know, you could go to any number of churches and you can find somebody that will tell you the lovey-dovey Joel Osteen messages, but when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to wish you wouldn't listen to that garbage if you do that. And I'm telling you, I love you and I want the best for you. And I want the best for us. And I want you all to pray for me. I pray for you all. I pray for this church. And like I said, I'm excited about the church because I see things happening here that there are churches of 200, 300, 400, 500 got nothing going on. I mean, they got a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, but not a lot of spirituality. And I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about him. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding, they say. And we're going to see down the road. See down the road. Just hang in there and get right when you're wrong and bear with me, pray for me, and we'll do this thing. We'll get through this thing together. But I'm excited at what the Lord has for us. I'm really excited. I'm excited the ladies are still having their ladies' meetings. I'm fired up about this men's meeting. I really am. I'm excited about it. I hope the Lord, if he's going to leave us here to be here until after that meeting, I hope he's all over it. I hope he blesses it, and I hope 4 or 5 different churches, I hope people show up, and I hope everybody gets something they need, and I hope all the churches are better when that meeting's over with for the cause of Christ. And if not, we might as well just pack it in now. Forget it. But I hope and pray that way, and I'm excited about it. I think the Lord's going to do something. I think he is. But when you're looking down through here and reading chapter 19 and get to 7 and 8, that's what it's talking about. The bride, his wife, hath made herself ready. Praise the Lord. And boy, oh boy. You know what does it? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God gives us salvation. The Word of God keeps us. The Word of God keeps everything in its place. The sun, the moon, the stars. Without the Word of God, if God would have spoken into existence and then took his word back, they would have disappeared. There would have been utter destruction. And the Word of God. You know what's going to be judging you at the judgment seat of Christ? The Word of God. And those folks that don't trust Christ this side of life, what's going to judge them at the great white throne of judgment? The Word of God. And actually, what's going to destroy them forever? The Word of God. You know, that fire wasn't something that somebody accidentally started in the forest out in California. God spoke that fire into existence for a purpose, for the devil and his angels. And the devil said, well, we might be gone, but we're taking people with us. I'm glad I don't have to go, amen. God has been making this stuff so real to me lately. Has he do that to you too? You sit around, you think, man, people are really going to, you'll hear something creepy or something will happen, or at least I do, and I'll think, man, I'm glad I don't have to worry about stuff like that in eternity. You know what I mean? The devil, he's having a heyday now, and he's kicking people around a little bit now. He's wearing out the saints. Don't have to worry about that in eternity. You know, everlasting fire. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't have to worry about that. It's just becoming so real. We are close to him coming back. I believe that. I'm not going to date it. I'm not going to pretend to. I do believe it could be this fall even. I don't know. But it makes sense when you look at the feast and Passover and all that stuff that it could be very, 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 very soon, like in the next few months. But we're definitely closer than we were yesterday, man. But we can see things happening now on a scale that has never even been imagined by me in my lifetime. Probably you either. And it's exciting. But getting back to the men's meeting and getting back to the Bible and what's been preached the last couple, 3 months here, as the devil ramps up his end time pressure, we need more Bible. We need more preaching. We need to be around each other more. We need to be church more. We need to be doing things that please God. And the only way we're going to make it, the only way we're going to survive this crazy world and come out with anything for his honor and his glory is by sticking with and submitting to the truth. And it's going to be tough. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. The people that will do that and walk arm in arm with you in truth are going to drop like flies. You're going to see churches go berserk. Churches that are on the line now, maybe teetering, tottering with a little Calvinism, maybe a little works in there, they're just going to blow apart. A lot of Baptist churches, they're going to go the way of the great whore. And it's going to be a battle. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For God all things are possible. We're strengthened in Christ. We're strengthened by his word, by his spirit, and we're protected. Now, I'm not saying bad things don't happen to God's people, but I'm saying that if you want to end right, God will give you the strength to do it. Amen? And that's what I want to do. That's what I want everybody in here to do. So here we are looking at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb and the wife making herself ready. And if you look at Ephesians chapter number 5, it talks about the washing of water by the word. It talks about a husband and a wife, and that, you know, the bride being cleaned up by the word, and us, his bride, being cleaned up by the word. So, read your Bibles. Amen. And here in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be through the book of Revelation, and we might do maybe a recap, a one-day recap of what we went over, just kind of a gloss over. Not gloss over, but kind of a recap overview. And it might be exciting for you all to read through Revelation on your own and just see how different it seems to you after this and see if you got any help out of this at all. Because I'm going to try it. I think we've gained some understanding, and I think it'll be a little different when we read it next time. Hopefully a lot different. But I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. And one of these days he's going to fix all this mess. Man, remember back in the day where you used to say boycott this store for that, boycott. You just have to grow your. You just have to go Amish, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, it used to be. You know, well, that store started selling booze. We won't shop there anymore. Oh, they're so far past that. I mean, oh, it's just ridiculous. And I don't know. I don't understand. God is a long-suffering God. And I can't understand it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I can't wrap my mind around his mercy. I really can't. I'm thankful for it. And I'm glad he's not a man. Because if he was a man, we'd have been gone a long time ago. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. We all have a good evening.